This is the Life Nomading Podcast with your host, Ian Hoyt, episode number 6. Hey there, everyone. It is Ian again, and it is episode 6 of the Life Nomading Podcast. Now, if you're an avid listener, you know that it's been a while since the last episode. And I know, I'm sorry. I've tried to produce this, but things got in the way. I'm working on some big projects that I don't want to talk about just yet, but you guys will be sure to know when that time comes. But today, it's not about me. It's about my guest, Megan Tan, a good friend of mine. But even more important, I think, right now is she's blowing up in the podcast world. She has a podcast called The Millennial Podcast, and it's all about navigating your 20s and figuring out this whole thing called life, which I think a lot of my listeners can relate to. Now, Megan's podcast has quickly grown in the iTunes world, especially. She hit the top 30 podcasts on iTunes. She's number 6 right now for top podcasts in personal journals with the rights of This American Life, Criminal, and some of those other awesome podcasts that we all love to listen to. This is crazy because when we recorded this episode about a couple months ago, none of this had happened yet. And it's awesome because it's so well-deserved for Megan. She does such a great job at Millennial Podcast, and she puts so much effort, heart, and passion into it. And I've listened to every single episode, and I can tell you this. Every time I listen, I get goosebumps. Sometimes I will admit, I, you know, get some watery eyes. It's incredible how she's able to relate to us, and it's not like she's even trying. It's because she's in it with us. And so you won't know exactly what I mean until you listen to the podcast for yourself. So I recommend right now pausing this if you have not heard the Millennial Podcast. Go to iTunes, search for Millennial Podcast, listen to all the episodes. You'll get addicted quickly. Once you're done, then come back here and listen to this interview. I think that'll be a fun way for you to experience Megan Tan and what she's doing for our generation and the podcast community. So without any further ado, let's get to the interview. Well, thanks, Megan, for being on the Life Nomading Podcast. I'm actually really excited. I've wanted to have you on actually for a long time because you actually do a podcast that I listen to, and it's perfect for sort of my community as well. So I'm so excited. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Just to get started, how about we have you tell everyone who you are and what you do and all that fun stuff, if you could.
Okay. My name is Megan Tan. I come from Columbus, Ohio, and I do lots of different things. I kind of consider myself like a Jane of three trades, and that is photography, film, and audio. So my background is in photojournalism. I graduated from Western Kentucky University, which has one of the best photojournalism departments in the country, roll tops. and then while I was there, because newspapers were kind of transitioning over into telling short-form documentary films or short-form documentary videos for online, we started doing a lot of short documentaries. So I switched over into film, and then I fell in love with audio, because what people don't understand is that in order for a documentary to run smoothly, like to be compelling, it has to have a really great story structure, and the audio is what drives it. So I kind of felt like I didn't have a foundation in that, and I wasn't getting it at my school necessarily in the way that I wanted. And so I took a year off and ended up applying to work at Radiolab, do an internship, and I got it, which was really unexpected. But that's kind of what launched me into radio. And I was still in school at the time, so I came back to school and then finished up with a photojournalism degree and decided after college that I actually want to pursue radio journalism.
And so you wanted to pursue radio journalism, but in what form did that take and how did that play out?
Well, so when I graduated college in May 2014, all of my friends who were trained in photojournalism, like everybody was applying to newspapers because our program is really great about pumping people out into the world and like... It just pumps out photojournalists for newspapers. And all my friends were applying for newspapers. And I was like, I don't want to apply to anything that my heart isn't in. So I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. Right. So I kind of am that stereotypical girl who kind of millennial who like graduates from college and has no idea what she wants because she feels like she's overwhelmed with all of these choices. And so I got this offer from the LA Times to be a videographer for their newspaper. It was an internship, and I realized I didn't want to do that. So I think by knowing what I didn't want kind of has pushed me towards the things that I do want to pursue. And I had a friend who was in a similar boat as me, and I was encouraging her to do like all of these things. And one thing that she said to me, she was like, I don't want to do... Like I was encouraging her to go to a workshop for like making short films because I thought that that was what she was interested in. And she looked at me and she said, I don't want to do that because films don't move me like words do. And wow. So she's like really interested in writing. And so I thought to myself, like, what moves me? Like I'm not people who are in film, like they love film. Right. And I just don't. I'm not obsessed with film, but I am obsessed with audio. So like audio is what moves me. And so I realized kind of like through asking myself all of these bigger questions that that's the path that I want to pursue at this moment, you know.
And at this moment that took the form of a podcast, correct?
Yeah, but it wasn't that quick. So the next episode is going to be about the struggle and the resistance, the internal resistance that you have toward actually pursuing the things that you want to be doing.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, oh, I don't want to do photojournalism at a newspaper. I don't want to do videos at a newspaper. I want to make audio. I'm going to make a podcast and it's going to start on Monday. No, it didn't. It wasn't like that at all. There are points where I still felt like I had no idea what I wanted. And it was really through the conversations that I had with my boyfriend, Ben, that...
Which he's been on here before.
Yeah, he's been on there before. I was joking with him this morning when I was telling him I was going to be on your show that like, oh, look, we're like the couple, the creative couple that have been featured on this podcast.
The passion-seeking couple.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times I think when people, especially who are younger, when they don't know, when they think they don't know what they want, they actually do. And you have to engage in lots of conversations with other friends of yours who really care for your well-being. And those people bring out the answers in your own life that you already know. So in a lot of the conversations that Ben and I had, that's what happened over time.
So this whole internal struggle or this figuring out was probably obviously sort of the hardest transition point for you.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So far in your life, I would probably say, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So far in my life, I've had like other pivotal points in my life where I had to choose a path I wanted to carve out for myself. Mm-hmm. Like when I ended up going to school my first year in California at like a small liberal arts school. And I had to, like, I was incredibly unhappy there because I wasn't fueling my soul in the way that I needed to. And so at that point, like, I had withdrawn from that school. I didn't have a plan. I was, I think, 18 or 19 and still a perfectionist. And I was scared shitless, you know, because I was like a failure at that moment too, because I didn't know what I wanted. And then that's when I started doing lots of research and also tapping into, like, what's this thing that I'm really engaged in at this moment? And then I ended up going to Western Kentucky. I mean, who ends up in Kentucky? You know, like, I had no idea that Western Kentucky existed. And now, I mean, and those were, like, just, like, really great years for just, do like, making work and being around lots of people who love what they do. And so that was a big shift for me. And I feel like the first year when I'm in a transition is shitty, you know. Can I curse on this show? Can I do that? Or,
oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. I was like, well, okay. It's like, yeah, is really shitty. But it's only because I'm like creating a foundation for myself towards the thing that I actually want to do. And, you know, who knows, what I've learned so far is that, like, things will bounce you in different directions that you can't even strategize with your mind, you know, right. But it's so important to just, like, own your engagements and just pursue them, no matter if you continue with them, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that's a huge point why I wanted you on here, because I feel like we have so many similar things that we've done. Like, I dropped out I withdrew from my first college, and then I was like, well, now what do I do? I know I don't want to do that, but I was extremely unhappy. And then, you know, I found sort of the startup world and all that fun stuff. But it's just sort of weird. It's like, is this a trending topic in, like, our, like, people in our generation? Is this happening more, you think? Do you think it's just a certain handful of people? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I definitely think with our generation, we're learning that, first of all, there's no plug and chug method anymore. I mean, right. When you talk to the people who you admire, who are at the top of the industry, and you want to be them, and you ask them, how did you become you? They usually look at you and they say, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know. And then you're like, oh, that doesn't help me. I also think that
you're supposed to have the answers.
Yeah, you're supposed to have the answers. Exactly. I also think that I feel like this is being said in a lot of articles that I read, just about how our generation has seen our parents work, and all of a sudden they get laid off after 25 years of work, and they only have 5 more years until retirement, and that company can no longer support them. And so you feel deceived, or you just don't trust that kind of like path anymore. You don't trust right. that a big company is going to take care of you. And also, your parents were unhappy while they were working, you know? So we're like, oh, great, let's go into a field that makes you unhappy and won't protect you. That doesn't sound good, you know? So,
yeah, I totally feel you.
Yeah, and I also think that now that we have all of these, yeah, different means to kind of be self-sufficient in the different ways that we want to, we can pursue those, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I would totally agree with that, you know, seeing the generation before us and our parents, you know, struggle or just not be happy with where they're at in their careers, or just see maybe the lack of fulfillment, or I don't know what it is, but I think definitely, you know, people in their 20s right now realize that we have way more tools to sort of expand our personal brand or what we have to offer as an individual. Like, I'm a firm believer that everyone could, you know, freelance their talents, and you know, we're going to get to that point where everyone's just freelancing themselves, which I think is good in a sense. And yeah, so I think people are just waking up to that, and I think people are realizing that they have the best tools possible that have ever been existent for them to be successful on their own.
Mm-hmm. But we're also preaching to the choir here. You know, you and I both, I mean, I don't know about you exactly, but like we don't have steady jobs where we have benefits right. or anything. But I mean, and there still are people who are our generation that are seeking that and don't really care if it's a job that doesn't fuel them, you know.
Right. And that's another thing is, you know, people have different priorities in their life. I mean, some,
like we can't speak for the 80 million of us that are out there, you know.
Right. Definitely. You know, some may want, you know, their highest priority is to live somewhere or have a certain type of family or whatnot. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're exactly right. We're preaching to the choir, but for sort of our niche of people in the 20s, I guess, I think we're definitely waking up to that.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to be a freelancer.
Right.
For the rest of my life, just because I think there's so much value in being surrounded by people. Because you're not like digging one ditch by yourself at this. I mean, yeah, you're just not. If you like naturally when you're in a group setting, if one person has a solution to a problem, the next person who finds a solution, if they're all sitting in the same room, is not going to say the same solution as the person who did. So you guys together collectively create more solutions because you know you can't repeat them. But if you're by yourself, if everybody's in a cubicle trying to create the same solution for one problem, there's going to be overlap, you know? So
right.
You expand the solutions to whatever problem there is by being in a group naturally. And that's what I love, you know, that's what I love. I don't think you can do. I've talked to lots of radio producers recently, just picking their brains about how do I do this? And they said, you know, you need a really great editor because in order to make great radio, you can't do it alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. And there's definitely pros and cons to like the freelance lifestyle. Yeah. But I think even if you are freelancing, I think you always need to have a community of other freelancers to always be in contact with. I know for me, it's almost like a web here in Columbus. Like mm-hmm. everyone's connected to everyone when it comes to freelance. And so we're all helping each other out and we're always bouncing off of each other. So it's almost like one big, you know, freelance company in a sense.
Yeah. That
we're helping everyone out. So you definitely can't do it alone and you definitely need, you know, other people to talk to.
Yeah.
And work with. So I would definitely agree. In that sense, for sure. So I think, first of all, I love your podcast. It's probably like one of my favorites now. It's up there on my top three.
Thanks, and, Ian.
I just listened to your latest article where you talk to the people you work with at the restaurant you work at.
Yes.
And I pulled this like quote. I heard this quote out of there that just made me just nod my head in violent agreement, which was, you will be successful because right now you're interviewing me and you're not being paid to do it.
Yeah.
And that was one of your coworkers told you that while you're interviewing him for the podcast.
Yeah.
And segue right now, if you haven't listened to the Millennial podcast, make sure you go check it out. There'll be links in this description and all that fun stuff. But, yeah, so I heard that quote and I was like, this is so true. And you probably have doubt. I have a lot of doubt with things I do. You know, you're not sure if it's going to be successful and it's hard to see the success down the road because it's going to be a long journey. And could you elaborate maybe on that moment specifically or just like the doubt you have and how you overcome knowing that down the road it's going to be successful?
Okay, so I'll first answer your first question just about like that moment. So I had interviewed lots of different people who I worked with, and Mike, particularly the guy who I was sitting across the table from at that moment, he is older than everyone else. He mm-hmm. is in his mid-40s and he looks great. Like, if you saw him on the street, you would be shocked that this man is in his mid-40s.
Yeah, and in the photo, I didn't expect
that. Right? Yeah, he looks great. Anyway, so I'm sitting down with him, and I guess I've had, like, in the episode, you become comfortable with the space that you don't expect to be comfortable with, and I was just kind of freaking out because I really like the people who I work with and I really like my job. But if you would have told me, like, oh, you're going to be a waitress after college, I wouldn't have believed you, you know, right. And I was going to be happy about it. Like, I wouldn't have believed you. So I'm kind of like asking people about this anxiety that I have in my own life of how do I know I'm not going to be stuck in this space that is extremely comfortable and is a lot of fun and is allowing me to live, but is not what I want. And yeah, when I was sitting across the table from Mike, who, you know, he has been to New York City, has worked with lots of television programs, used to be a server there, and then moved up in his life so that he didn't have to serve anymore and he could make video and make television in New York City. And then he kind of came back to Portland by choice and is now kind of carving out his own career as he's still a server. And so I really wanted to know, I mean, one of my favorite things to do is just like talk to people who have lived through life and ask them about it because they know more than I do. You know? Right.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's so true. And yeah, so when I was sitting down with him, I felt like that moment was such an aha moment for me as well, because because I'm not making any money from this podcast that I'm doing. And
right.
And I don't even know if anything's going to happen because of it. But for him to say, you know, like, it's not the work that you're doing necessarily, but the personality and the characteristics and the drive that is fueling that work that is consistent in your life and that you actually have to believe in. That to me was like, oh, you're right. No matter what, I will always push myself because that's just who I am. And it right. doesn't matter if I'm making work and getting paid or not, I will just continue to push because that's already solid, you know, like that foundation is already solid. So everything else may not matter, but you're going to get through it anyway, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. I agree. I and it's sort of weird. I think maybe we do take that for, you know, for granted. Mm-hmm. Is this initial drive that we have, even when money isn't behind it, we still have enough motivation to actually do it.
Yeah,
and that right there, I think is bigger than you or I realize. I know I had the same aha moments before as well when people are like, said similar quotes to me or, you know, said similar things to me. I was like, well, yeah, I just do it because it's what I need to be doing. It's like that passion, right?
We should talk about that though. About how being your own boss is one of the hardest things to do.
Oh, definitely.
Right? Because
oh, for sure.
Yeah, because all of a sudden nobody is telling you what to do. You don't have an infrastructure. You are giving yourself your own deadlines. You are holding yourself accountable, and it's hard. Like, that shit is difficult, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
It is. It's so hard. I mean, when I first left the advertising agency to do this in freelance full time, waking up at 10 o'clock was normal for the first, like, month, and I was getting nothing done, and I was being extremely unproductive. And finally, I was like, you know what, Ian, what is this? And so, you know, I've reframed my mind, and it's like, it's hard to create great habits, and it happens over time. But like you said, when you're your own boss, and if you're answering, especially to clients, you have to discipline yourself, and you have to put in infrastructure on your own. which is great once you do it, but it's hard to get that going.
Yes.
Luckily, I live with a lot of other people that work remotely from home. So we hold each other accountable. We had to wake up by 7 or we owe each other $2.
Really?
We implement different accountability tools.
That's nice.
Yeah, it helps a ton.
That's really nice.
And so, yeah, definitely I agree there.
There was at the end of this last episode, there's a segue into that when I'm sitting with Ben. This is before the podcast even gets off the ground. And I'm asking him in the car because I'm having such a hard time jumpstarting this podcast. I mean, it took me 4 months to create the first episode. Like, that's ridiculous.
I remember you talking about it.
Yeah. That's great. Right in the summertime, you know?
Yeah.
I was
like,
I'm going to make this podcast. Oh.
We're talking about it over beer and really good cheeseburgers.
Right? Yeah, those were good. Those are great cheeseburgers. We still think about those cheeseburgers. But I mean, during that car ride, I'm asking Ben if he can hold me accountable, and he is like, no. You know, like, if I do that, our relationship is going to suffer because he doesn't want the weight of that. He didn't want to become like a weird father figure or teacher that needed to discipline me. And I need that. I'm the type of person who thinks I need that. So, yeah, becoming your own boss is difficult.
Accountability versus dream bullies, which if anyone's listened to these podcasts or read any of the articles, they've heard of dream bully before, which Ben talked about in our podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think the difference is there? So you have people that are dream bullies, and then sort of you wanted Ben to be more, you know, accountability. Is there a line there?
I mean, accountability is someone who says, like, where is that podcast? You said you were going to have it done by Monday.
Right.
You know, and that sounds like a boss. Right.
Right.
And there's a little bit of fear in that because you want to prove to this person that you can do it. And I think, yeah, that can become really distorted in a romantic relationship very quickly. Whereas a dream bully is someone who, like, knows exactly what you want to do and is supportive of how you're going to get there. And that also means that they check in with you. Like, Ben and I, we check in with each other. We are each other's dream bully, but it's a two-way street. Like, I know what he wants to be doing and he knows what I want to be doing. So we'll say something like, oh, hey, can I steer you into this
definitely.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, Ben and I sat down with each other, and instead of making New Year's resolutions, we decided to make a plan for the year. So we envisioned what we wanted to be doing by the end of the year. And we told each other, like, okay, you go sit in this corner. I'll sit in this corner. I'm going to type up a plan for myself. You're going to type up a plan for yourself. And we're going to, you know, come together and we're going to talk about it. And so my plan was, because I love school, it was like a curriculum, you know, I'm like, in this course, you're going to learn how to, you know, create an audio piece and then pitch it to editors all around the country. And I'm like, as I'm typing this out, I'm just like, man, this is the best class ever. and like, Ben is on the other side of the room, basically creating a business plan, which is like, the return on your investment will be da 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 da. Anyway, so we came together and we compared notes, and now we know what each other wants, and we have a tangible plan of how we can get there, and like the contacts we need to make and the efforts we need to put out. And so we're going to probably meet later on today, actually. And every single month we check up and we look at what are the things that we've accomplished during that month? What do we need to keep accomplishing for the next month to keep moving forward? So I think that just feels healthier. Like, even when I describe it to you, like, no one, there's not one person who's up above saying, why didn't you do that? Like a person who would be a teacher or someone who would be a boss. It's kind of two people who have a vision for what they want their future to be like, and they're supportive of each other to move simultaneously in that direction. So we're lucky. Yeah, we're lucky in that sense.
That's awesome. That sounds great. I know that, like, I am asked to hold some of my friends accountable with their stuff, and I've done it in the past and I do it now, but I get the same feeling. I almost feel bossy.
Yeah.
And in a sense, like, I know these people or these friends may need that in their lives, but also I find this contradiction, like, if they need it on this certain specific goal, it might not be the goal they actually want. And so I think, like, as you talked with you and Ben and the Dream Bully and, you know, monthly checkups almost, is like, if you can dig deep and find what it is, what goal you actually want to achieve deep down, it's going to be less about accountability and more about, you know, just, you know, support.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a great point.
Well, and also, because I have friends who also want me to hold them accountable. And I don't, like, I had a conversation with one of my really good friends, and I basically told her, like, I don't want to be your mother.
Right.
You know, like, our friend, like, I'm not here to be your mom. And the crazy thing is that where she is right now, I used to be there before I launched the podcast. Mm. And it's only because I recorded all of our conversations that I can look back on that and say, like, oh, wow. I was having that same kind of conversation with Ben, and a lot of times what he would say to me is, it's really up to you. You know, like, I could only do so much to support you. And in the end, if you're not happy with what you're doing, then you have to change it. And it's, everything falls on you. I can't make you make the podcast. As much as you want me to hold you accountable, I can't do that. You have to make the podcast, you know? And so I've realized that the first time, and we've talked about this, like, the first time you want to do anything, it's the scariest thing in the world because you think the whole world is going to judge you. You are putting your heart on the line because this is what you actually want to be doing. And the moment you kind of, like, tear that Band-Aid off the first time, then just, like, tearing it back off, like, it just becomes easier, you know, to the point where...
That's great. That's, like, probably the best quote in a while.
Well, I would do that. When I would get scared, like, when I was publishing that first episode on... And you know, like, when you put it on Facebook, you think, oh, God, this is out in the world. Like, oh, people know about it. I was literally just, I mean, I would psych myself out and I would say, like, just rip off the Band-Aid, Megan, just do it, just rip it off, you know? And then I'd push like submit post, and then I'd like run away from the computer and like shut everything down, you know, and then like go outside or something, like totally think about something else.
That's so funny. But I totally agree with, like, the whole ripping, and every time it gets a little easier and easier.
Yeah.
Like, at my point right now, it's like second nature, right? And people are like, man, you're doing this crazy thing, or posting this, or blah, blah, blah. To me, it's just another day by now.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, a year or two ago, making a post, just like you said, or, you know, sharing something, or putting my heart on the line in a blog post or something was this huge thing because I was really afraid. But at some point, you know, it just gets second nature.
Yeah.
Expressing yourself to everyone.
Yeah. But that pivotal point of just doing it the first time is, like, you change internally, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
It's like this release that I wish, like, everyone could experience. It's like, it's hard to explain too. You're just like, finally, I've done it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you know, I mean, you have friends who are at the space where you were in, like, before you did that. And it's, for me right now, like, it's so hard for me to connect to them. Cause I just,
oh, definitely.
I just want to shake them and be like, just do it, you know? Right. But you have to have compassion for that space that they are in now and that you were in before and will probably be in again in the future, you know? So yeah, it's tricky, but it's I had friends who I would talk to in New York City who are doing radio, and I was like, I want to do this. How do I do it? And my friend, Alex Kappelman, who helps me on this podcast, he basically said, if you want to do radio, just do it. Just do it. And I was like, thanks. Shit. You know, like, oh, perfect God. Advice. Okay, I'm going to do it. You know what I've learned, though, Ian, is that the moment I can feel resistance in my own life about doing something, that's when I know I have to do it.
I love it.
Yeah, just because I don't know. There's so much that happens, like you build up the courage and the confidence and the wisdom within your own life to like move forward and to break this wall. And that is so much more valuable to expanding your life than maybe what the product actually is, right? So
yeah, I think especially starting out, like the product is almost secondary to you discovering you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess when we were talking about how do you know if something is going to be successful or not, right? Like, how do you know if all of these efforts you're putting into something is going to pan out? Like, you really don't. And I don't think you should go in with the expectation that things will.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I would say you need to go in it with the fact that it's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And then from there, let the chips fall almost. I mean, work relentlessly to make it a success.
Yeah.
But ultimately know that you're being fulfilled, and hopefully it's fulfilling other people, and thus it'll be considered a success. I mean, for me, success, I mean, and we could get in a whole conversation about success is like what determines success?
Definition of success. For me,
for me, you know, it's just a matter of seeing people enjoy my stuff. It doesn't matter how many,
right?
But you know, just seeing that happen. And obviously, we want to make, you know, income and be able to sustain ourselves off of it.
Yeah.
Ideally,
there's a quote I've been listening to, like a lot of like radio producers talk, and there's this great YouTube video with Ira Glass, and he's talking to Google, and he's like when we go out into the field as storytellers, we expect to get hit by lightning all the time, you know, like that's what you want a story to hit you and it's going to be great. And he said, but what people don't understand is that doesn't happen. Like, in order for lightning to strike you, you have to wander out in the rain for days and months, and then maybe lightning will strike, you know? And so I feel like you can apply that to all of this effort that you're putting out there. And I think, yeah, I mean, you just have to
10-year overnight success, right?
Yeah. The people who do get overnight success, I don't know if they value it, because they didn't work as hard to get there as maybe people who take, like, who really fight and take a long time, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you're in Portland, Maine, correct? And part of life nomading is sort of, you know, when you can or if you want to, traveling or going to different locations. So I like asking each of my guests where their favorite place to go is. And maybe since you're in Portland, Maine, and I love Portland, Maine, maybe let everyone know why they should come there. What's some great things to see there?
That's so easy. Portland, Maine is closer to Boston than people think, first of all. And it's surrounded by the ocean, but it's not like West Coast. There's a huge beach. You have a large line of cars trying to get into the ocean. You know, it's like I can look outside and I can run along the ocean. And Portland is a really great town I mean, in Maine, it's the biggest city in Maine, and it has 60,000 people here. But it's a foodie city. A lot of people from Brooklyn come up here because it's less expensive to like open up their own restaurants, and the food is so good. And Portland is this crazy. It's small, but there's just constantly so much stuff going on. So there's just music and presentations and events. And I mean, I haven't even been here. This is only in the winter when like tour season is down. And I still feel like, wow, there's just so much stuff to do here all the time. You're also like a skip and a jump away from nature. Like Ben and I go cross country skiing almost like once or twice a week. Yeah, because you can. People love the outdoors. There's lots of artsy communities here. You'll meet somebody who's a ceramicist and then someone who's a filmmaker and someone who is a writer, and maybe they have a different job, but everybody, you know, like they have these passion projects that everybody is kind of involved in, and it's really great. People are so friendly here. It's ridiculous. Like I got my car stuck in the lot where we park, and because we've had so much snow lately, gosh, just it's just like 2 feet every night. Every time it says, wow, like, oh, we're going to get a snowstorm, you just expect 2 feet of snow. Anyway, I got my car parked, like stuck in this lot, and I was like trying to reverse, and my car kept sliding into another car and that was parked. And Ben was gone, so I didn't have any like man muscle behind me. So I just flagged down this random guy. I just flagged down this random guy on the street who had a truck, and he spent an hour trying to get my car out, which is nuts, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We've definitely become coffee shop snobs up here because the coffee shops are so great, and foodies, like we're turning into foodies because the food is so great. You can go salsa dancing though. I don't know what else to say. I love Portland. It's economical and fun, and I don't know. Even my restaurant that I work at, the customers that we have there, we become like buddies, and we exchange. I'm serious. We exchange like phone numbers and email addresses. You know, just like the people I'm serving. Yeah. So come to Portland. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. I would. I think I'm going to be going up to Portland soon to visit you guys. So yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
So where do you want to visit? What's on? I know this is switching from sort of the topic we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No worries.
I like to hear.
Where do I want to go?
Yeah, where's somewhere maybe you haven't been that you've always wanted to go?
I'd like to go to Chile. Yeah,
that's cool.
I just hear it's beautiful, and the people are really great there too. I think I'd also like to go to Patagonia.
Ooh,
yeah,
that'd be cool.
I feel like I haven't explored the United States as much as I'd like to, so my itch to travel internationally has kind of calmed down a bit because I feel like I don't know my backyard. So I would like to go out to, I mean, the Northwest. I've never been to like Portland or Seattle, and I've also never been to the Southwest of the United States. And I would.
Do you
really
want to go
like
to Alaska?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Alaska too. But yeah, I definitely think Southwest and Northwest.
Nice.
Yeah. Was one of your questions also what is my favorite place or?
Yeah, well, I mean, do you have a favorite place?
I do. I mean, one of my favorite places in the United States is Colorado.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love Colorado.
Never been.
And then outside of the United States, it would either be Ecuador or Mongolia.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, probably Mongolia. Although I do love Ecuador.
Why Mongolia?
Just because there's such a rich culture there, and I don't know. It's just really beautiful. Yeah. The people are really, are just amazing though. And really nice. That's where throat singing nice. Came from. I don't know if you know that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. A little tidbit of information.
Yeah.
Okay. Segueing back to finish out this podcast. Sorry we got off track.
Oh,
there,
no but, problem.
Yeah, just to finish it out, I think I could probably talk to you and Ben all day long about this type of stuff and sort of the millennial struggle, the Gen Y struggle, whatever you want to call it, is real. And I've experienced it. You've experienced it. And I think a lot of people are right now. Your podcast is probably one of the best resources they could find to listen to about this. Where can they find it?
They could find it on iTunes, first of all. Just type in millennial or type in Megan Tan and it should pop up. And then they can also look for it at millennialpodcast.org.
.org. Awesome. Yeah, like I said, I love the podcast. It is produced. Do you do the editing as well?
I do everything. Or? Yeah. I would show you my studio, but it's literally a closet that's 1 foot by by like 5 feet. And I mean, it's literally as big as my computer, my laptop, the width of my laptop. And there isn't a light, so I'm sitting in the dark most of the time.
That's awesome. I think there's a photo somewhere of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. How long does it take you to produce an episode then, you say? It's about like 20, it's a 20 minute little episode each time.
Yeah, that's how it's been just recently. That hasn't been a goal, but it just kind of falls at 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so the first one I told you like took me 4 months and that was only 10 minutes. And then the second one, I told my listeners I was going to produce it every 2 weeks. And of course, after I said that, I took a big gulp and I was like, oh shit, you know, I got to do this every 2 weeks. And so that one was made in 2 weeks. And I realized that, I mean, I was staying up late nights and not going out and I started to get unhealthy, you know, just not showering, stuff like that.
Right. I've been there.
Yeah. So I decided that that wasn't the best way to go. So this last one took me about 4 weeks and now I'm hoping that I can find a medium and do every 3 weeks, but
yeah. Awesome.
So it'll be every 3 weeks.
That's great. Who are some of your inspirations for this type of work?
Definitely Alex Bloomberg. So he created a podcast called Startup, which is basically his life trying to launch his own podcasting company. And it's a form of, yeah, it was just like a narrative format that I really had never heard before, but
right.
was intriguing. And it was serialized and it was extremely personal. And so actually after Ben and I had been listening to that and after we heard it, Ben like went on a walk in the mountains or something and he came back and he was like, Megan, I have an idea. You should make a podcast about being a millennial, you know? And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. So the credit for the idea definitely goes to Ben. And yeah, Alex Bloomberg, definitely. I mean, for this particular podcast, but I have lots of people who inspire me and just in radio journalism in general.
Megan, do you have any final words for anyone in this struggle before we wrap this up?
I mean, I'm definitely still in the struggle myself. So.
Right.
Gosh. Make lots of lists.
Wisdom of Megan.
make lots of lists and write them down. Don't be afraid to, I don't know, like make your goals bigger than what you think you can achieve and just like go after them. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when I'm afraid to do something, I tell myself, you have nothing to lose. Right now, you have nothing to lose. So why not? Yeah. NTL. That's my thing. I just say like, NTL, NTL, nothing to lose. Like, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Rip off the Band-Aid, you know?
You need to make a t-shirt line of all these.
Yeah. Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Awesome.
Yep. That's all.
That's great. Well, thanks, Megan, for being on the podcast.
No problem, Ian. It was my pleasure.
I will definitely link all the ways they can find you on social media and the podcast. And I hope everyone takes a listen to start at episode one and just knock them all out right now. There's only four right now. There's going to be a ton more in the future. So yeah, take a listen and let her know what you like by reviewing and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. So thanks so much. And we will see you hopefully on this episode, on this podcast again.
Sounds great. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks. Wow. That was super insightful, super interesting, but more importantly, it was super relatable. You know, thank you, Megan, one last time for being on the podcast. You know, having someone else that can relate to what our generation might be going through is great in the podcast world. And you're really moving the needle in that respect. And I'm so excited for what you're doing. And that's a segue. If you haven't listened to Megan Tan's Millennial Podcast, you need to do it. And it's easy. Just go to millennialpodcast.org and you can find all the episodes there. Or go on iTunes and search Millennial Podcast or Megan Tan and you'll find it quickly. And if you're listening on iTunes, take a minute and leave a review. She would love to hear your feedback, and it helps her in her pursuits. So if you want to follow him on Twitter, go to @HereMillennial on Twitter, and you'll be able to stay updated on all their fun stuff. And as for the Life Nomading Podcast, that's all I have today. It's been a journey, and thank you for sticking with me. If you want more insights and you want to be a part of the Life Nomading community on Facebook, it's easy. Just go to lifenomading.com and sign up, and you'll be added into our super awesome private Facebook group. But that's enough of me. Have a great day, everyone, and just keep rocking it. And yeah, see you guys.